Wednesday the 25th of June, Cough Bay Sivan, by the way, Matthew Shiafi Lawrence, a muksa button.
Okay, the topic of the shiur is a muksa button. There was some discussion before the shiur, which type of button are we talking about? Is it a button from a garment, a button from a lift, from a computer? We're talking about a button that fell off a garment on Shabbat. Maybe a button fell off a garment on Shabbat. And what's that like? Is it muksa? Or is it not muksa? You might be thinking to yourself, why should it be muksa? What's muksa about the button? But we'll soon see. Now, first, just to tell you what made me go into this inyan, which shaila occurred that made me think about this whole inyan. Happened on Shabbos a couple of weeks ago, Mincha, in my particular shul. They took out from the Ohr HaKodesh, the Sefer Torah. Many Sefer Torah have a keter, a crown, and on them is little bells. And one of the bells fell off on Shabbos. The shaila is that bell muksa, or is it not muksa? Why should it be muksa? And by the way, one of the adults there said, oh, it's muksa, everyone said, stay away, it's muksa, and all the children started running around and everything. The shaila is it muksa? Why should it be muksa? We tend to think of muksa as something electronic, something that you do a malacha with. You don't do a malacha with a button. So why should a button be muksa? So without going into too much detail, the basic criteria of something that it should not be muksa is that it has to be a kli, a utensil, a usable object. Something has to be usable. For example, stones are muksa on Shabbos. Unless you set them aside for a particular purpose, which involves a whole procedure, but a stone itself is muksa. Why? Because a stone doesn't have a use on Shabbos. Sand, mud, all these things are useless, and therefore they're muksa on Shabbos. A button which falls off a beged on Shabbos. Do we say, well, what are you going to do with this button now? It's useless on Shabbos. What can you do with a button? So some of us might remember various Mishnayos or Gemaras that might say, well, you can use it for something, you can use it to plug a gap or something or other, or you can have a jug, a little jug with a narrow opening, and you want to make a lid for it so you can put the button on the top. But post-Kim and Moshe Feinstein, others say that doesn't really apply nowadays because nobody would really do that. So the question is a button muktzah? A button which falls off a beged, is it muktzah on Shabbos? Now we're not talking about a button which has never been onto a beged, never been on a garment. We're not talking about that. That's a different shiur. We're talking about a button which has been part sewn onto a garment, onto a piece of clothing, and it's fallen off on Shabbos. What is the halacha? Is it muktzah or not? So look at the first source on the sheet. We'll start backwards. Usually we go from the Makoris, the earlier Makoris. We'll start backwards with the Shmur Shabbos Kehilchot, number one. I've photocopied two parts. One is the text at the top and the notes underneath. We're not going to go through the notes, just go through the text. Firstly, he starts talking about there, it is actually forbidden to remove buttons from a garment on Shabbos, even if it's got loose. And sometimes if the button has fallen off, there's little threads which are left on the garment. You can't pull those out on Shabbos. That's, again, a separate topic. On the third line there, you'll see, the third line of the first piece, v'hakafto atzmoy. That means the button itself, kishenofal, when it falls off, muta l'taltzloy, it's permitted to move it, ve'ein boy mishum mukta. It's not mukta. So Shabbos says, it's not mukta. Ach, however, toy v'lahachne b'zeh. It's good to be machmir about this and not to move it. Mikivin she'eino royu l'chol shimush. Because it's not got any use at all. So one hand he paskens that it's mutter to move. On the other hand he says, there's a makom to be machmir. There's a reason to be machmir. So usually when you find that in halacha, the reason is because there's a machloikis in halacha. And we paskens that halacha is one way, but there are other opinions in the world. Those who want to be machmir for the more stringent opinions can do that. So he seems to be saying the halacha is that it's not muksa. However, somebody wants to be machmir can be machmir and not move it, because there are obviously opinions who hold that it could be muksa. So where does this all start from? Where does this whole sugya come from? So we'll go to something a little bit different, which is the Mishnah number 2, in the middle there, a Mishnah on Daf Kufkof based in the Sefer Shabbos. So what we're talking about here is, if you imagine to yourselves a little box which has a door, like a jewellery box or something like that, little keli, a little kli, which has a door on it. What happens if that door comes off? Is that door muksa? It was part of a box, a usable box. It was functioning as the lid and the door of the box. What happens if that came off? Is that door muksa, or is the door not muksa? Any suggestions? What should we say? So look at the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Kol ha-kelim hanitarim b'Shabbos, b'dal tzuseyen imohem." Any kelim can be moved on Shabbos, and their doors with them, af api shenisporku, even though the doors have come off. So you can move, says the Mishnah, you can move the kli, the box, and the doors, even though the door has come off. Now, we won't read the word in brackets, because the Achronim say not to read the word in brackets. Even though the doors have come off, you can move them. So presume, and it says you can move the kli, and what? And the doors. She'ein adaymin, the dalfeis habayis, because it's not similar to dalfeis habayis, doors of a house. Imagine this door over here, as we come in, came off its hinges on Shabbos, before Shabbos. Could you move that door? Halacha is no, you're not allowed to move that door on Shabbos. That was part of a bias beforehand, and the door is muktzah. But the Mishnah is making a distinction. Although the doors of a house one cannot move when they've come off, the doors of a utensil you can move, even though they've come off. The Mishnah is making a distinction between the two. We don't know why yet. We don't know why. What the Mishnah says is that the doors of a house, lefisha einon min ha-mochen, they're not mochen, they were never prepared. They're never prepared for individual use. What function does a door have? A door is used as part of a house, to get let you in, let you go out. It's part of the house. It never has a function in its own right, as a separate entity. It functions as part of the house, mechubal lekarka. It's part of the house, it's part of the binyan. It doesn't have a utensil, the status of a utensil in its own right. But says the Mishnah, with a box,
with a door back door, just to lean there.
Oh, possibly. But we'll see. We'll see. But in terms of its own function, it never got its own function. It was always part of the house. It was very secondary, very tofel to the house. That's what the Mishnah says. Says the Gemara. Says Rashi on the left hand side, number 3. Says Rashi. Kol kelim nitalim b'Shabbos v'dal tzuseyen imohem. All kelim can be moved on Shabbos and their doors with them. Says Rashi. Kol kelim. Any kelim, any utensils that have doors, could go in shida, table, migdol, different types of boxes. Nitalim b'shabbos, they can be moved on Shabbos, that means the box itself. With the losos, sheyesh lahem b'tzidon, and the doors that they have on the side, imahen, they can be moved with them. Nitalim imahen, that means they can be moved with them. Says Rashi, the afa b'shen is paraku, and even though the doors have come off, had the losos in the kelim, even though the doors have come off in the kelim, Nitalim, they could be moved. They don't go in with Dalsay Tabayas. They're not similar to the doors of a house. Why? The Etcha Nitalim, which cannot be moved. The Fisha Dalsay Tabayas, Einon Min HaMuchen. Because the house doors are not Min HaMuchen. They've never been prepared, the Talsel. And here comes the key word. She'einon Kli. The doors of a house are not a Kli. They're not the utensil. Abo, Elu Hein Kli, Agav Avihen. Elu hein kli agav avihem. These doors of a box are called a kli agav avihem. How do you translate agav avihem? Because of their father. Which father? The box, where they came from. They got a shame kli, we say, in Shivish language. They got a shame kli because they were part of something bigger, which itself was a utensil. So the doors of a house were never part of any utensil. They're part of a house. A house is not a utensil. But the doors of a kli were part of the kli. So in the same way as the kli is a kli, so the doors of a kli are also a kli as well. And even though they came off, obviously, but seemingly, because they were part of the kli, they got the status of the kli. And even though they've come off, they retain that. So therefore, that's how Rashi explains the Mishnah, that the doors themselves are not mukta on Shabbos. That's Rashi. Now, go to number 4. Which is another Mishnah, a bit later on in the Masechta, Daf Kuf Chof Dalet, number 4 on the sheet. And here we're talking about something a bit different. Here we're talking about, if you can imagine, let's say a china bowl, china tea service, and it breaks on the floor into fragments, into shards, into fragments. What's the halacha in that case? Are you allowed to move those fragments on Shabbos? I'm not talking about a situation where they're dangerous. If they're dangerous, that children can fall over it and hurt themselves, then you're allowed to move it. Even though they're mukta, it could be mukta, but you're allowed to move it. Let's say a situation where they're not dangerous. Are you allowed to move shivrei kelim, we call it. Shivrei kelim, are you allowed to move on Shabbos? There's the Mishnah. Kol ha kelim hanitzalim b'Shabbos. Any kli, which was muta to move on Shabbos, let's say a china bowl, which was perfectly muta. There's the Mishnah. Shivrehem nitalim imohem. What does the Mishnah say? Shivrehem nitalim imohem. If they break, The broken fragment can also be moved. But the Mishnah makes the Tanai condition. Everyone following inside? The Mishnah makes the condition. Ubavad Sheyuhu Oisin Me'ein Malacha. What does that mean? The fragments have to be able to serve some kind of malacha, some kind of purpose. You've got to be able to do something with them. They can't be totally useless. If they're totally useless, then they're muksa. If you can still do something with them, and the Mishnah goes on to give examples. Shivrei Areva, Areva is like a big kneading bowl, and it broke. So, Lasos Behemeth Piachot, if you can use it to cover a barrel or something like that, the cork or something like that. If they, or Shivrei Zechuchit, broken parts of a glass utensil, to cover, that's a MSP, a pach, to cover a pach, a jug. As long as they've got some kind of use, then they're mostly to move on Shabbos. And then the Mishnah brings another opinion of Yehuda, who says it's got to be a more specific use. It's got to be a use which is similar to the original use of the thing. But we're not going to go into it. So what does the Mishnah say here? Mishnah makes a condition. Mishnah says if you have a kli, a utensil, which breaks into fragments, the fragments are only not muksa if, what? They've got some kind of use. Now, did we find that condition in the previous Mishnah about that, the doors that came off the utensil? Did it say that there? No. There it said, if the doors came off the utensil, they're modern to move. But here we're saying that the broken bits of the broken fragments of a utensil, you need to have this condition, you need to fulfill the condition so that
came off,
they are usable.
Oh,
so Tosis is sitting there in the corner. I think it happened once before as well. We're going to try and work out the difference between the two. So as we said quite correctly, with the second Mishnah, which is a broken utensil, so there's nothing that you can do with these pieces. So the Mishnah has to make a condition. If it's got some kind of use, then it retains its status as a utensil, then it's not muksa. That's why the Mishnah says it has to have some kind of use. But the first Mishnah, so somebody said the door remains a door, and it's not broken, but the whole utensil is not in its complete form, but the door remains a door. And we add another suggestion that the door can be put back. Two different things that you said. The door can be put back, and the door can be used. Which one are we going to go with? We can go with both if you want. Right?
You can stick the china lid and put it on top of the inside.
Okay.
This is a lid, you can put it back on and
not stick. Oh, excellent. Right. So we've come out already with the what are we showing him here. So. Okay, so we've got everything that we said in mind. Now, there is a Gemara on that on the second Mishnah, which I haven't quoted here. It's a one-line Gemara, so I'll just tell it to you about that. The Gemara says, in the case of a utensil that breaks into fragments, the Gemara then says there's a slight not difference in halacha, but if it breaks before Shabbos or breaks on Shabbos, which case is more kosher, more simple, that the fragments should be mutter to move? If it breaks before Shabbos or on Shabbos?
Before Shabbos.
How many people say before Shabbos?
Before Shabbos.
How many people say before, if it breaks before Shabbos? How many people say it's more kosher, they should be able to move if it breaks on Shabbos? Okay.
Nothing.
Right. Okay. We've split over here. So the answer is the Gemara has both ways, and the Gemara there says the Gemara concludes there. The Gemara Kuf Dalas says that it's more poshut to say that you can move them if they broke before Shabbos. If they broke before Shabbos, because it's muchan, it's got already, it's destined for some kind of use. It can be sort of set aside, or automatically set aside before Shabbos. But when Shabbos came in, these fragments already had some kind of intended use. Whereas on Shabbos, if they were broken before Shabbos, and it all came on Shabbos itself, then it could be, it's like noilad, like a new thing that came into it. Okay. So the Gemara there says, with the case of the Shivrei Kalim, that it's more poshut to say that they're not mukta if they broke before Shabbos. That's the conclusion of the Gemara there. But look at the Gemara. Go back to number two. So we read the Mishnah. Look at where it says Gemara there. The Gemara it says like this, quoting from the Mishnah, trying to learn out the Pshat in the Mishnah. Kol akedim nitali b'shabbos, yafal mishin sparku b'shabbos, v'loy mi boye b'chol. Are you trying to tell me that kedim can be moved on Shabbos, and the doors which broke off, even though the doors broke off on Shabbos, v'loy mi boye b'chol, even though, in other words, even though they broke off on Shabbos, and avada if they broke off before, That's what the Gemara seems to say, wants to learn the Mishnah. You're telling me they broke off on Shabbos, they can be moved. Not even if they broke on Shabbos. But if they broke before Shabbos, then definitely they can be moved. In other words, it's more poshut to say that if they broke off on a weekday. Says the Gemara, no, the Sfarah is the opposite. Other Rabbah, the Shabbos Mukhanim Al Gabe Avihem. On Shabbos, if it breaks off on Shabbos, it's Mukhan Agab Ovid. When Shabbos came in, it was part of a utensil. Was Mukhan because of the fact it was part of the utensil. And it broke off on Shabbos, so then you could argue that it retains the status of a kli. However, Bechoyed, if they broke on a weekday, Ein Mukhanim Agabe Avihim. Because when Shabbos came in, what happened? It wasn't part of a utensil. So it's not Mukhan due to the main utensil. So the Gemara here wants to say, the Gemara wants to suggest that it's more poshut if they break off on Shabbos that they're not muksa. Whereas the Gemara on with the Shivrei Kedem says the opposite. Okay, and that's Tosafot's kasha. Tosafot has a kasha that the Gemara seems to contradict one another. Our Gemara here with the doors that come off seems to want to suggest that it's better if they broke off on Shabbos. It's more of a reason to say they're not muksa because they broke off on Shabbos and they were mukhan when Shabbos came in. Whereas the Gemara over there seems to say the opposite. Look in Tosafot, on number 5. Other Rabba, the Tosafot, on going on the Gemara. The Shabbos mukhan agav avihem. Our Gemara wants to suggest that if the doors of the Kedem broke off on Shabbos, they're mukhan agav avihem. They're mukhan because they were part of the utensil where they came from. Says Tosafot, as agav did come on the Turkin omar itcha, even though later on in the Gemara it says the opposite, gabi shivrei kli cheres, regarding a shivrei kli cheres, a fragment of a kli cheres, the shari, the town fell, yoyset, more posher than its mutter to move, kishnishbru for Erev Shabbos, when they broke on Erev Shabbos. Mishnishbru for Shabbos, and if they broke off on Shabbos itself, loy damyet, the place is a very important point, this is a crucial point. Loy damyet is not similar. So Hocho, in our case, of the doors, akati klihu, it's still considered to be a kli. Sha'adayin oimed lim melacha mishayna, it's still oimed lim melacha mishayna, you can use it to cover the box. V'royu lehitzcha be'hakiso yimak im ha kli, which is what we said, Tosafot says that you can join the door onto the box. Now, can you do that on Shabbos, by the way? Can you do it on Shabbos? Can you join the door?
No, probably not.
Okay. But Tosafot doesn't mean that. Tosafot doesn't mean that you can join it on Shabbos. Tosafot means that theoretically, it's still attachable. And therefore, it retains its relationship, so to speak, to the box where it came from. And therefore, since the box is not muksa, the door is not muksa. So Tosafot, since it's royu l'chaber, you can join it, theoretically, it therefore retains its status as a utensil. Avon a kamon says Tosafot loy choshiv kli with the fragment that's not called a kli elam machmas sheoimed lemalach acheret. Once a china bowl breaks into fragments, can you use those fragments as a bowl? No, not really. Unless it's oimed lemalach acheret. Unless it's now got a special new use, you can't say well it's sort of related to the original use that it had. The door of a utensil still has a relationship to where it came from, whereas the broken things, the broken fragments, don't have a relationship to where they came from, and therefore the Mishnah insisted that you have to have an extra use. Therefore, Hilka Kishanishba b'Shabbos also to say that have a noyla. That's why, in the case of the fragment, if it broke on Shabbos, the Gemara there says it's worse if it broke on Shabbos. It's worse if it broke on Shabbos because it's like noyla. It's like a new thing. It's a whole new use. It has no relationship to the original use. It's a whole new use, and therefore that's why the Gemara there said if it breaks on Shabbos, it's worse. Whereas in our case, if it breaks on Shabbos, it's better because it still retains its relationship to the box that it came from, and therefore it's not muksa. Okay, so Tosafot says, according to Tosafot, the reason why the door remains not muksa is because you can theoretically join it to where it came from. Now, can you already start to compare this to our original shayla with a button? Yes. A button falls off on Shabbos from a beggar, like a door falling off a utensil. And says Tosafot, you can rejoin the door. Can you rejoin a button?
No, yeah.
Not on Shabbos, but you can't join the door either on Shabbos. Doesn't matter.
You can use the door on Shabbos.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Tosafot doesn't say that.
No, you use the door back in the space.
You're right, but Tosafot doesn't say that. Other Rishonim say that, we'll see. But Tosafot doesn't say that. Tosafot says, because you can join the door, theoretically, after Shabbos, it hasn't become totally detached in halakha from the utensil where it came from. That's what Tosfos says. So a button as well. Since theoretically you can rejoin the button, not on Shabbos obviously, but it still retains its status as being like a chelek of the garment itself, and therefore it's not muktzah. Okay.
You're right.
There is such a distinction, but Tosfos doesn't say that. Tosfos says that since you can join it back, that's why it is not muktzah. So with a button as well, you can join it back. So it shouldn't be muktzah if it falls off. On again, let me stress, it's not muktzah to join it on Shabbos, but theoretically it can be joined back after Shabbos, and therefore it's not muktzah. Okay. Now look at number 6. This is the Tosfos Reed. The Tosfos Reed, one of the Rishonim, says a very interesting thing. Afa pishen is parukul b'Shabbos, even though they break off on Shabbos. Hirish afa gav the kelim hanishborim. Even though we said with the second Mishnah kelim hanishborim, kelim to totally break. On reading the Kamon, the Gemara says the ba'ina shiyu hashborim oisim mei walaka. There we insisted on condition that the broken fragments have to have some proper use. But with doors, we don't require them to have a proper use. Hocha, the delosos with doors of kelim, afal gav the loy chozul malacha shorik. Says quite clearly, even though they have they're not suitable for any use. A door that comes off a box, a jewelry box, has no use on Shabbos. It has no proper use. It's still mutter to move it. Mipnei shehu yochol lahachzirom shom, like Tosfos says. Yeah, same, so far so good. Yeah, same thing. That you can join it back, and therefore it remains part of the original utensil. Aval hashvarim, in the case of broken fragments, eino yochol lahachzirom ulahadbikom. You can't really put them back together again. You can't really repair a china dish or whatever. It's very difficult. However, Tosfos Reed adds a very important point. Everyone got this aside? The end of number 6. Tosfos Reed adds a very important point. If it required a meister umen, that means a professional job to restore the door to its proper position, also, or you are surim, they would be also. That means they would be muktzah. Unless you could do some kind of malacha with the doors. So he adds a very important condition there. What condition is Tosfos with adding? The whole idea why we're saying the doors are not muktzah is because theoretically a person could return it to the box where it came from after Shabbos, and therefore retains its own status as a utensil. However, if it requires a maisa umen, then it's different. So what's the distinction? So I found there seems to be a machlokes how to learn pshat in the words of Tosfos Reed. The machlokes between Harav Eliashiv and Rav Scheinberg, two of the Gedolei HaPoskim today. The machlokes is how to learn the word of Tosfos Reed. Rav Eliashiv learned slightly simpler, that since it requires a maisa umen to do, which is a melocha, therefore it's muktzah. The doors have fallen off, it requires a melocha to put them back, to fix on them onto the hinges, so you're not going to do that on Shabbos, like he suggested, and therefore you cut it out of your head. It's got no use on Shabbos, you can't return it on Shabbos, and therefore it's muktzah. That's how Rav Eliashiv learns. Whereas Rav Scheinberg learns slightly different. Rav Scheinberg says that if something requires a professional job to put it back, it costs you money to do. You have to hire a professional person to do it. Very often it won't be worth it. It's not worthwhile fixing. You've got this little box to actually repair it and do the soldering, whatever it is, or fix it. It's not really worthwhile to do.
Some people can hold it for many days to put it right on some card. What do you do?
Okay, one second. So, I want to explain the machlokes. So, Rav Scheinberg says that what the Tosfos Reed is saying is, in most cases, it's not going to be worth your while to do it. If it requires a maisa umen to do a professional job, it won't be worth your while. And therefore, you cut it out of your mind. You've no longer got any use for this thing, and you're not going to do it. You're going to maybe throw the thing in the bin. Disposable. Right? Put it away. However, says Rav Scheinberg, if you decide that it's worthwhile, you've got sentimental value of this jewellery box, and you want to restore it, then doesn't matter. Even though it requires a maisa umen to put it back, it doesn't matter. It won't become muktzah because you haven't cut the item out of your head. Muktzah is all about whether something's still in your mind or not in your mind. That's what muktzah is really all about. Is it usable or not usable in your own mind? So since your intention is to carry on using it, even though it might cost you £50 to restore it, if your intention is to do that, says Rav Scheinberg, it's not muktzah. So the machlokes is how to learn what the Tosfos Reed is saying. Everyone clear? The machlokes is how to learn what Tosfos Reed is saying. Okay, so according to the kit to what Tosfos Reed is saying is similar to Tosfos. The reason why the doors of the kelim are not muktzah are because you can return them to where they came from theoretically, And places would add an extra condition, but if it requires a professional job, then they will be muktzah. And we go to machlokes, achronim, poskim, how to learn what places would say. The final opinion is chidushei haram. By the way, there are other rishonim who hold it. I just photocopied one of them. Chidushei haram, number 7 on the sheet. Okay. The afal pi shedisparku b'chol. Even though we said in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, that if the doors got broken off on a weekday, nevertheless they're not considered to be muktzah, the doors of the keli. The afal gav tishkashenichnas Shabbos loy hoyu had the lost place to vakim in our kelim. Even though when Shabbos came in, the doors were not stuck onto the utensil because they broke off, let's say, before Shabbos. But loy hoyu b'hem tayyav kli, and they didn't have a status of a kli. They don't have a status of utensil because before Shabbos, what happened? They were what? Detached before Shabbos. They came off before Shabbos, and therefore they're not part of the kli. Says Ran, mikol mokay ruuyin hein lihitalto b'fnei atmo. They can be moved in their own right. Shari yehudin hein lasayif me'im malachdom harishayna lasayif b'hem ashida b'hateva. What does the Ran say? And we suggested it a few minutes ago. You can use it to cover. The kosher came in the spoke of the Shabbos, and even more so if they broke off on Shabbos itself, then we've got an extra reason to permit them, because they're muchan because they were part of a utensil when Shabbos came in. But like Mikri Sheva Kli, says the Ram, they're not called a Sheva Kli, a broken fragment. Calls the man Shiroyu the Kli Katsat, and say Roy to be a Kli in their own right. Bahari Urin Hein La'oifa Malacha Shehuskanu Mitachila. They are Roy, that's Malacha which they were designed for in the first place. That place for Hena Shidava table to cover a box. I the Malacha Acharet, or to some other Malacha. So that was the other suggestion that we came up with. What's the Ram say? Taisus said, what's Taisus? Taisus said, the reason why the doors are not moksa is because you can put them back. The Ram doesn't go that far. The Ram doesn't say because you can join them to where they came from. The Ram says because they have to be Roy le Malacha now, and they are Roy le Malacha now. You can cover the box, you can use it for a different Malacha. But what's the fundamental difference between Taisus and the Ram? The massive difference. According to Taisus, the doors don't need to have any use now. Taisus said that as long as you can join them back, they retain their relationship to the utensil where they came from. It doesn't make a difference if they have no use now. Yeah? Yeah? That's what Taisus said. The doors don't need to have a use now. And that's why we said with the button, it doesn't matter the button doesn't have any use now. Since you could return it to the beggar, you could reattach it to the beggar. So he said that it doesn't matter. He said, therefore it's not muktzah. According to the Ram says quite clearly that the doors have to have a use now, either to cover the box or some other malacha. You could sit on the door. Rashi says somewhere you could have a picnic on the door. You could sit on the door. The children, you could lay out food on the door. You could use the door itself. You lie it flat and use it like that. So the Ram says he's more stringent than Tosafot. The Ram says the doors have to have a use now. And they do. They do have a use now. But that's a very important criteria, because what's going to be in the case of the button? What will be in the case of the button? It doesn't have a use now. So that's going to be enough kamila that comes out between Taisus and the Ram. According to Taisus, it doesn't matter that the button has no use now, because it was part of the beged, and it gained its status as a utensil because of being part of the beged. But according to the Ram, the thing needs to have a use now. Does the button have a use now? No. So according to the Ram, the button has a use now. The Aruch Lamaisa, how do we pass it? So the Mishnah Berurah there, we'll go through it inside. Mishnah Berurah number 8 there says that we paskin like Tosafot. It doesn't even bring the Ram or those we showed it. We paskin like Tosafot. So Tosafot says, what? As long as it could be restored, it's okay. So what's going to be the din with the button? It's okay. Oh, so that's why we saw in the Shemir Shabbat Kilkosa that he paskin, so the button is not Muktzah. Because he's going with the Mishnah Berurah, and according to the Mishnah Berurah says it is not Muktzah because it's like Tosafot, you can restore it. However, the Aruch HaShulchan, which I didn't put on here, doesn't paskin like that. The Aruch HaShulchan paskins, he doesn't even quote the Ram, the Aruch HaShulchan paskins that an item which falls off another item, say a door that falls off a utensil, has to have a use now. So in the case of the button, what's going to be? It's going to be Mukta, because it doesn't have a use now. And Ramosha Feinstein also paskins like that. He doesn't also mention the Ram, but he paskins like that. Ramosha says that a button is Mukta. Unequivocally, the Moshe says, he doesn't even say Yesh Machmirim. He says a button is Muktzah, has no use on Shabbos, and therefore it's Muktzah. So Shlomo Zalman, we saw, said, and the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chosah, that we go like Mishnah Berurah, the button is not Muktzah. The Moshe says the button is Muktzah. Even Rav Shlomo Zalman, who says that the button is not Muksa because we go out the Mishnah Berurah, who goes like Tosfos, Shlomo Zalman says a very interesting distinction, which is what I'll leave you with. It depends on the type of button. If it's a plain and simple button, there's loads of them around, so you're not necessarily maksid to put that button back. A regular blue button, a white button from the shirt, they're not necessarily maksid to put that button back. So perhaps that button's not destined to go back. So Tosa said the door's not muksa wide because it's destined to go back. But a regular poshita button is not destined to go back. So says Rishon Zalman, that would be muksa. But an expensive button, or like from a lady's outfit or something, where it's a very specific button, to go and find another button like that, you want to put dafka that button back, therefore your intention is to return it, it's not muksa, because Tosa said, if your intention is to return the door, it's not muksa. And we're passing like Tosa. So Rishon Zalman says, even though we're passing like Tosa, who's more lenient, it's going to depend on what type of button we're talking about.
Right.